Few moments there. 2 Samuel in the 16th chapter. 2 Samuel and the 16th chapter. And we'll look in our Bible just a little bit. I've been doing a little study in the life of David in the Bible. Some very good things we can learn from him, and then everything we can learn from him is good, but some of the things we learn about him are not so good. But there's some important things that went on in his life that can help us, I think, handle some things that go on in our life. And so I want us to consider an event in David's life that maybe some of us, perhaps all of us, have to face one time or another, and that's dealing with somebody that's angry with you, dealing with somebody that more or less hates you. We're going to run into that in our life. Not everybody loves us. Not everybody wants to get along with us. You probably never have had anybody give you any trouble. But if it does ever happen, this might help you and be an encouragement to you to know how to act when that happens. I was studying David a little bit in his relationships. And I studied a little bit about David and Goliath and how dealing with Goliath when he stands in your way or when he holds halts your advance, how to get a giant out of your way. And then if we would look at David in the life of Saul, dealing with Saul when he holds animosity towards you, and we could look at that. We're not going to look at him this morning. And then dealing with Jonathan when he has affection for you, how to have a friend and how to be a friend. And then dealing with Bathsheba when she holds an attraction for you. And of course, we know that David was involved in immorality with her, and that's something that we have to be careful of, always have had to, but especially in the day that we live, and how to deal with that. And then dealing with Nathan when he holds you accountable. It's good to have somebody in life who holds you accountable when you've done wrong. Nobody likes to be corrected, but we all need to be corrected, don't we? And then, let's see, there's another one in there somewhere, dealing with Michal. When she hates your adoration. Michal was David's wife, but she didn't like his relationship with God. And so David had to deal with that. So a lot of things David had to deal with, but I want us to spend some time with David and Shimei this morning. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Shimei who, and we'll put it this way, we'll title the message, Dealing with Shimei When He Hurls Accusations at You. And you'll understand that in a moment as we read. But let me remind you of what's taken place. David sinned with Bathsheba. And as a result, the Bible said that the sword would never leave his household. And he would have to pay fourfold for that sin. And one of the ways that David reaped from that immorality was his son Absalom rebelled against him, you remember, and wanted to kill him. And so David had to flee from the city of Jerusalem. Absalom is coming with his men to kill David. David has to run. So as he's running from Jerusalem and from Absalom, something happens along the way. We read about it in 2 Samuel 16 and verse number 5. And when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son which came forth from my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Now in every one of these relationships that we deal with David, I had a little subtitle. I didn't give them to you. But when I thought about Goliath, I thought there's somebody in my way. When I thought about David and Saul, I thought about this. There's somebody on my back. When I thought about David and Jonathan, I thought about this. There's somebody in my corner. When I thought about David and Nathan, I thought about this. There's somebody in my face straightening me out. When we come to Shimei, I want to put it like this. There's somebody in my valley piling on. And that's the way it's going here in the life of David. David is in a valley. He's in a difficult time now. It is a valley of his own making. The trouble is the result of his sin. But even as he's fleeing from Absalom, he's already in trouble. He's already in the valley. He's already facing difficulty. And now Shimei shows up and adds to the difficulty that David is facing. They always used to say this when I was growing up. I heard my parents say it many times. They always said trouble comes in threes. And they would say when you have trouble in one area, there's going to be trouble in another area. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's true at least in twos in David's life. Here is a man that hates David. He is enjoying seeing David hurt. Sometimes you'll have people who are against you and you can't figure out the reason why they're against you, but they are. So what are you going to do about it? Well, there are a lot of responses. You can get angry. You can fight back. You can try and hurt them. You can try and defend yourself. But David really handles this in a very good way. And so I want us to learn a little bit about how to handle this type of situation. Now, when I read this passage, I noticed something that I thought was interesting. In this valley that David's in, there are three households that we're going to come in contact with. Matter of fact, if you go back to chapter 15, the Bible will say this about David. It will say, David and all his household fled from Jerusalem. So we have the household of David in this passage. Then we also have in this passage the household of Saul. Because the Bible said in verse 5, and when David came to Behurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. So we have Saul's household in this valley. We also have the household of Zariah. If you look in verse number 10 in our text, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So we have Zariah's household, we have Saul's household, and we have David's household. All of these are different, but they all come together in this little valley, in David's valley. Now I want us to think about these three households for a moment this morning, and we'll get some insight on how to deal with trouble. The first one I want you to notice is Saul's household. We'll call it the household of hatred, because that's exactly what's going on here. Shimei hates David. What is Shimei's problem? Shimei has a bitterness problem. You see, Shimei is of the house of Saul. Some years ago, Saul sinned. He was king over Israel. You remember, I think it's 1 Samuel 15 where Saul was supposed to do something for God and he didn't do it. And Samuel showed up and Saul said, I've done what the Lord said. And Samuel said, no, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, no, you haven't done what the Lord said. You have rejected the Lord. And because of that, the Lord has rejected you from being king. And Samuel turns away to leave from Saul, and Saul grabs him by the robe, and when Samuel turns, the robe rips. He rends it, the Bible said, and Samuel looks at Saul and said, God hath rent the kingdom from thee and given it to thy neighbor, which is better than thee. And he was talking about David. So what happened was Saul disobeyed God, and because of it, God removed him from authority and put David in his place. Now, Shimei is a member of Saul's family, not his immediate family, but he is a Benjamite of the house of Saul. And he is still smarting and still hurting and still bitter over what happened to Saul. Now you're going to run into folks in your life who are, I'll put it this way, they're carrying a sour spirit. Something happened to them a long time ago and they just never have gotten over it. You've run into people like this. They're bitter, and you can tell they're bitter when you get around them. You don't have to be around them very long. I pastored a fellow some years ago, and I loved the man, and I think he loved me, but he was a bitter person. And I could always tell if he was angry, because after the morning service when he'd come out, if everything was okay, he'd shake my hand and he'd say something like, "Good service, Pastor," or "Isn't it a nice day," or something like that. But if he was mad, he'd shake my hand. He wouldn't want to shake my hand. I'd have to grab his, and then he'd say, "Hello, sir." That's all he could say. And we had a missionary come in one time, and a missionary from Mexico, Brother Rogers. He came in, and I had Brother Rogers over to the house at the parsonage, and I had this man and his wife and another couple, and we were there maybe 10 minutes, and I had to go out in the kitchen for something. Brother Rogers followed me out. Now, he's been there 10 minutes in this man's presence, and we get out in the kitchen. He said, "What is that man so bitter about?" He'd known him for 10 minutes, been around him 10 minutes. You're going to run into people who are bitter, and that bitterness comes because they have something that has happened in their life, and they just have not dealt with it in a godly manner. The Bible said, let all bitterness, in Ephesians 4, remember, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're going to have to learn to forgive if you're going to live the Christian life without bitterness, all of us. And Shimei has not learned to forgive. Not only is he carrying a sour spirit, but the Bible says this, he came cursing as he went. Now just imagine that. This is not just suddenly an outburst of cursing. The Bible said he's been cursing as he went. He's cursing steadily. Now the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And this cursing of Shimei is simply a manifestation from his mouth of what's going on in his heart. Sometimes we get critical. How come? Because of something not right in our heart. Sometimes we get angry and bitter because something's not right in our heart. And then he's casting stones. He wants to see somebody hurt. Now this is one reason I know David's in a valley, because the Bible said Shimei is running across the ridge, along the ridge, and he's kicking stones down on David, casting dust, and he's calling him names and he's cursing. Now, I want you to notice something. We're going to get to David in a minute, I hope. But I want you to notice something about bitterness. There's something I noticed in this passage. Let me read it to you. Verse 6. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, now watch this, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left hand. Who is he talking about right there? Who is on David's right hand and left hand? David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23, I think it is, tells us about the mighty men. You know what it tells us? It tells us about Adino who slew 800 men at one time by himself. Tells us about Eleazar who slew 300. Tells us about Benaiah who slew two lion-like men of Moab who went down into a pit in a time of snow and slew a lion. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man over 7 feet tall. Now you think about, here's Shimei on top of the hill. David's down here, and on each side of him are soldiers, some of whom have slain 800 and 300 men by themselves. Do you think it's a good idea for Shimei to be cursing David right now? No, it's kind of foolish, isn't it? But see, here's what bitterness does to you. You can't see things straight. You can't think straight. You can't act right. All you can think about, the only thing you can think about, is so-and-so wronged me. And really, the truth is, David never did wrong Saul. God moved Saul out of the way. But Shimei's twisted. You know what he reminds me of? I was preaching on the radio in North Carolina, and I was preaching on forgiveness. And after the service on the radio, a lady called the pastor, Pastor Barton. He pastors the church and is the director of the radio station. So this lady called him. She said, I have been listening to Brother McBride preach on forgiveness, and Pastor Barton, I have called to forgive you. She said, I've been angry with you for 20 years. And so he said to her, well, ma'am, I appreciate you forgiving me, but what did I do to you? She said, 20 years ago, you mowed my lawn and stole my lawnmower. He said, now, what was your name again? And she told him, and he said, ma'am, I've never met you, and I've never mowed your lawn. And she said, you mean that wasn't you? And she'd been bitter at him for 20 years, and she had the wrong person. See, bitterness is so silly. It's so foolish. It just tears you down, makes you act in ways that just are not even sane. And so we've got this household of hatred. I hope this morning you don't have any bitterness. And if you do, I hope you do something about it. Hope you get it right with God. Well, you have the household of hatred. That's Saul's household. You also have in this valley the household of Zariah, and I'll call it the household of hardness. Now, who is this Zariah? Zariah, we read about her here in verse number 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? There's a man named Abishai, who is one of David's mighty men. And when he hears what Shimei is doing, he does what most people would do when they get attacked. He says to David, let me go up there and shut his mouth. Actually, what he said was, I'll cut his head off. But that would shut his mouth. And so Abishai said, let me go up there and take care of this guy. Isn't that what most of us would like to do when we're attacked? We'd like to shut them up somehow. And so Abishai said that, and David looks at him and talks about him and said, what have I to do with thee, thou sons of Zariah? This is a phrase that David has used before. Sometime when you have a moment in 2 Samuel 3 and verse 39, you could go back and read this, but right now I'll read it to you. David says this, I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. Now, who is Zariah? Zariah is David's sister. She has three sons. Their names are Asahel, Abishai, and Joab. They are brothers. Asahel is dead. He has been killed by a man named Abner in a battle. Joab and Abishai are still alive. Joab was a rascal, an absolute rascal. He murders Abner because he uses an excuse about Asahel dying. He murders Amasa because he does not want Amasa to take his place. He kills Absalom against the direct command and directions of David. And he is always, later on when David is about to die and Solomon is going to become king, this man, Joab, wants to become, Adonijah, he tries to rebel against the kingdom with Adonijah so that he can still remain the general of the army. In Joab's life, everything is all about Joab. I want to be number one. I want to be on the top rung. And Joab is a hard man. And apparently Abishai is too. He's the kind of fella that would hit you in the face before he'd explain anything to you. He is a hard man. David is his kinsman. They're related. David is also his king. And he's been faithful to his king. But David is not his kind. They are not alike in their thinking. You see, the problem with Abishai is he must be constantly restrained. One day, when David is running from Saul, David and Abishai and David's men are hiding in a cave. And Saul comes along with his men hunting David, and he's weary, and he lays down to sleep in the cave, not knowing that David and his men are in the back of the cave. Well, when Saul gets to sleep, David and Abishai come up, and there's Saul laying on the ground asleep. You know what Abishai says? Kill him!
Make an end of him. The Lord's delivered him into your hand.
And Abishai is ready to do the deed. David reaches down and cuts off a little bit of Saul's skirt, the edge of his robe, just so he can prove to Saul that he was there. But he says this to Abishai. He said, you can't touch God's anointed. And then the Bible said, as soon as David cut that off his skirt, in his heart, he was sorry about it. Later on, he will say to Saul, he said, I could have killed you. You were in my hand, but I'll not touch God's anointed. But you see, David had to restrain Abishai. And that's the way it is when you get hard. Not only the bitterness, that sour spirit, but when you get hard, what happens is when you get hard and get carnal in your hardness, then what will happen is you'll be hard with people when softness is required. And the opposite of that is you'll be soft with people when hardness is required. Because sometime you have to deal with people in what would seem to be a harsh manner, but you don't want to because you're too carnal. We're too fleshly to see the need for it. And so Abishai is to the place where that hardness has colored his ability to make a right decision about how to respond. So we've looked at two fellows who are in bad shape. Let's look at David a moment. You say, preacher, I thought you was going to tell me how to deal with it. Well, I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to show you some things that David did. What do you do when somebody attacks you like Shimei? And somebody's beside you saying, let them have it. What do you do? Well, here's what David did. I call David's household the household of humility. I call it that for this reason. When Absalom is coming to attack David, David could have stayed in Jerusalem and fought it out. But you know what he does? He leaves Jerusalem because he does not want Jerusalem to become a battleground. So he leaves the city. On his way out, Zadok meets him with the ark. Zadok is the priest. And Zadok has determined to bring the ark and take it with them. Here's what David says. Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. That sounds like a humble spirit to me. David said, we're not going to turn Jerusalem into a battlefield, and we're not going to take the presence of God out of Jerusalem because of my trouble. I'm going to go and leave myself in the hands of God. And if he says, I'm going to bring him back, I'll come back. If he says, no, I don't delight in him, then I won't come back. That is a humble spirit. Now let's see David's response to Shimei. There are three things I want you to see, maybe four. If we have time. Notice the first thing it says. David will say this in verse number 10. What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? I cannot say that I absolutely understand what David just said. There are a lot of things I read in the Bible I don't quite grasp. You have that trouble sometimes? I can't quite explain them all. But here's what I do see in this passage. David's humility allows him to comprehend the hand of God in his trouble. You hear what he said? He said, God hath bidden him. Here's where we have trouble dealing with people. All we can see is them, and we cannot see God in the background working. Do you believe that God is a sovereign God? I do. I believe he's in control. And so I need to remember that when things are not going right in my life, and especially when I'm attacked, I need to remember that God is somewhere behind the scenes. The old songwriter said, look, somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. And another one said, there is an unseen hand that guides. So here's what I do. I'm going to have to look beyond. If someone attacks me, I'm going to have to look beyond them. And I'm going to have to see the hand of God to find out what my next move should be. I need to reckon God into my circumstances. Sometimes it's hard to see the Lord past the animosity that's being thrown at you and the accusations that's hurled, but we need to learn to look for Him. And that's what David did. His humility helped him to comprehend God's hand in the middle of this. The second thing I notice is his humility helps him to compare his hurts. Now listen to the next thing he says, verse number 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bid him. Now, here's what David just did. He said, all right, I got two problems. My first problem is my son wants to be dead. My second problem is Shimei's calling me bad names. Which one's worse? Which one is the one I ought to be zeroing in on? You see, what will happen a lot of times is somebody will attack us in some manner and we'll get all wrapped up in that when there are bigger things to deal with. More important things that need our time and need our prayer and need our understanding. But we get off the big things and get on the little things. But if we humble ourselves before God like David did in this passage, it'll help us to compare things. What is important and what is important? Is it really important if somebody calls me names? If I know what my character is it really important if somebody else tries to besmirch my character? No. So his humility helped him to compare his hurts and comprehend God's hand. And then it did something else for him, this humility. Notice the next thing David says in verse number 12. Notice this now. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. David's humility helped him to be comforted with hope. David said, now, here's Shimei and he's piling on, but I know something about God. I know that God is a God of compassion and a God of mercy, and it might just be that God will look down here and see how I'm being treated and say, you know what? I think I'll bless David a little extra. You say, would God do that? Well, let me ask you a question. If you were walking, when you leave church today and you're walking out of the auditorium and you're headed out the foyer and there's somebody you know there and they reach out to shake your hand and you shake hands with them and you speak with them for a few moments and then you go your way. But suppose that person's shaking your hand, you know that they're facing a great trial and that they're in great trouble and they're carrying a heavy load. You know what you'll probably do? You'll probably spend a little more time with them than maybe you would normally. You'll probably say something to them that you might not say normally. You know what that's called? It's called compassion. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that you and I are more compassionate than God is? No, I don't think so. And so I think God, David is saying, when God sees what I'm putting up with and this piling on, God's going to say, you know what? David's going to need a little extra measure of grace and a little extra help. And God, he said, God, he may requite me good for this. This may actually be, God will say, I'm going to bless David a little bit above measure because of this trial that he's going through right here. And I believe God is a merciful God, don't you? And a God of compassion. And I believe he'll do that. And so David's humility helped him to comprehend God's hand, helped him to compare his hurts, helped him to be comforted with hope. And then David's humility did something else. It helped him to constrain himself. David said, let him alone. Just leave him alone. We're not going to attack him. We're not going to fuss with him. We're not going to argue with him. We're going about our business. Just let him alone. Now I want to remind you of some things. Romans 12:17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. If somebody treats you in an evil manner and you treat them back in an evil manner, now we have two people acting evil instead of one. Right? So the Bible said, you say, well, I'm going to pay them back. Well, what's the difference between you paying them back and them paying you back? What's the difference? Render unto no man, recompense to no man evil for evil. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, see that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men, even the Shimeites. That's not in there. I just added it. It might be in the Greek. You'll have to look it up. In 1 Peter 3:9, the Bible said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, I just had this, I have this thought in my mind. I wouldn't argue with you about it, but I want you to think about something. Part of David's trouble that he's in is because God said, you killed Uriah with the sword of Ammon. Remember? Now, David has an opportunity to kill Shimei with the sword of Abishai. I don't think he wants to go there again. And so David said, just leave him alone. Sometimes the best thing you can do with a Shimei is just leave him alone. Let him curse. Put yourself in the hands of God. And I'll give you a little postscript here. I think I have time. I need to be done here in a minute. I told the preacher I'd get done on time because I don't want to mess up the eating. Amen. Here's one last thing, a little postscript. You ever write a letter and put a little P.S. on it? Here's a little postscript. You know who David ends up looking like in this passage? Can you think of somebody else who was reproached and lied about? Somebody else in the Bible who was falsely accused? And he took it with grace and humility. You know who David ends up looking like? He ends up looking like Jesus here. You know what the Bible said about Jesus? Said when he hung on the cross, that was certainly a valley. The Pharisees piled on like Shimei. They came by, they wagged their heads at him. They said he saved others, himself he cannot save. They reviled him. And the Bible said those thieves that were crucified on either side of him cast the same in his teeth. What was his response? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We're all the time talking about living like Jesus. Well, when Shimei comes around, you got a good opportunity to live like Jesus by humbling yourself rather than trying to get even. All right, let's pray a moment. Lord, we love you.